little formal agreement on the fact that we can use this recording for our research or extracts in the sense, well, we will never publish the recording, but maybe an extract or use it in a publication.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great.
I mean, generally, obviously, I really enjoyed the event, and I was actually, it was very interesting to come to an event that was focused on such a specific area as Mobile Audio Fest was, and it be so rich and so full. I mean, my 2 days were literally running around X trying to catch up with everything, and I definitely didn't experience it all. So that was really exciting to have been able to join, find an event that you've done in this way. Mm. It was really interesting to see the force of technology that came from all the pieces, because obviously being aware that what we were looking at was how technology can be used to mediate our experiences with mobility and with sound, and of course how intrinsic technology is to our experiences in any public or moving space. But to really see it gathered that way with all of those works was actually quite more than I was expecting. So it really did raise that question for me of, well, how is technology mediating our experiences of space as we move? And how can we? Which actually may sound silly, but I wasn't really expecting that. I suppose because I usually encounter these kinds of works on an individual basis and not as a collection of, was it 20 pieces you had? Mm-hmm. So that was really nice to go away with that question in my mind. I mean, the works themselves, it was I enjoyed that you'd covered quite a number of different areas with this. So from kind of pieces that explored technology's ability to create music from our spaces and with our interactions, to how we interpret or experience our environment, which is where my particular interests are, so those were the ones I focused on. But as well as kind of using technology to create these virtual worlds of space and mobility with sound. So again, that was nice to see the breadth of projects that went over those three areas. The ones that I particularly enjoyed were the ones that were exploring the environment, so from Christina Kubich's Sound Walks, of course. Jessica Thompson,
yeah,
as an idea, yeah. The sound bender, I've forgotten his name. I've got it on the computer.
Sorry.
The sound bending. I'm not saying that right.
Pierre Laurent Cassière, the artist who had two parables.
That's it. Yeah. Yes.
Pierre Laurent
Cassière.
Oui.
Yeah, that was fantastic. So those works that really played with your direct experience of the space that you were within were really revealing and so relevant. That, you know, obviously you can't miss the opportunity to explore a space in a new way like that. But what also caught me was the works that were exploring kind of virtual spaces that, I wasn't necessarily expecting to encounter because of, you know, having my particular interest that I was coming there to explore. But I was really overwhelmed by the work of, whose work was it? Adamine with Mubly, the app. The fact that she had identified a kind of a mapping technique using sound shadows is kind of how I was describing it.
Yeah.
Was excellent. So these new ways of mapping sound that I saw coming out with a couple of those kind of virtual spaces that were created with both her and the iceberg work, mapping the iceberg, Marie's work. Yeah, so both of those two works really, as I said, explored kind of sound mapping in a different and exciting new way, because obviously the way that we are often mapping the sound is very restrictive with these tight locational elements, and so it was great to see the kind of the flux of winds.
And also this immersive idea that both share, and well, the fact that they both put the listener at the center of the map rather than to me it's interesting as well.
That's it, yes, of course, definitely. And with Marie's, the fact that she was mapping via acoustics. So again, to reshuffle and to remap in a way that is sensitive to sound's properties rather than our current ideas of mapping cartology was really nice to see. So those were the works that really stood out to me. I mean, I didn't actually catch all of them.
Yeah.
But those were the ones that were kind of most notable in my mind and the elements that I enjoyed. Some of them, obviously, I was excluded from because I can't speak French, but that's my own
yeah.
fault. And, oh, in regards to the way that you had offered it, I thought it was really interesting that, oh, not interesting, but it was good the way you had engaged the different artists to lead sessions with the work. Because, again, these being pieces that are kind of operating all over the city at all different times, to give those access points was great. So to go on a walk with Christina or to go on the different led events, mm-hmm. it was a really nice sort of access into that. And having Peter's road music as a connecting piece, which is obviously just as valuable and as an experience to reach those other works, was kind of delivered really nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Thank you. No, well, the idea was both. Well, since the thematic was so strict, the idea was to create links between the public and the artist as well.
Uh-huh.
So the idea of guided works was really part of the concept because part of the Locus Onus event. Are based also on exchange and, this is the first time we organize a festival, but usually during the symposium, it's really a meeting point and an exchange platform. It is conceived like that. So it was really important to us that people could meet and could have some meeting point, both in space and in time, in order to connect the one with the others.
Brilliant. Well, that worked really well because it did become that meeting point, which was different to other events like that. So it was great that you'd achieved that with it. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
But would you mind to go more in details about some of the project that you have experienced?
Sure.
So, for example, you were not there for Maria, right? Maria performance?
No. I arrived that night.
So, can you, usually what we ask is that it's a very short description, what the piece is, but really plain, and then some ideas of it. You have already mentioned something, but regarding Marimu mapping the iceberg, what it is, I know that might sound students stupid, but it's nice to us to see how different people describe differently the same work in a way.
Yeah, interesting, of course. So what it is, okay. So, it was an installation, a sound installation that remaps the city of X according to its different acoustical properties. And this created a kind of virtual experience for me of place, but exploring it through, obviously, these invisible zones of sounds
mm-hmm.
and created new relationships between new parts of the city, some of which were recognisable to me and others which were just pleasing or interesting sonic experiences. But it also created a game space for me because this was an unknown territory that I had to kind of rechart and understand how my behaviour was going to take place within it. So from moving in a very considered, explorative way around the sound to learn where the edges of the sound spaces were, what had been mapped there, and to consider those relationships, to running around in circles and kind of just hearing this sort of YouTube-like flickering of sound spaces that would never be possible normally. So it was the piece to me.
Thank you very much.
That's good.
Yes, so I've already commented on it. And what about Amandine Provost Moubli?
Moubli. Okay, this was an application that allowed you to sonically travel across the world through sound. It allowed you to travel in a way that would never be possible normally because I believe it was mixing sound streams from different live streaming microphones across the world. So actually you're creating a completely new space as you travel on your trajectory that you have set across the world. And not only that, your kind of fictionalized sound journey is being affected by real life ecological conditions of the wind blowing this about. So a completely new take on journeys, on sound travel, on mapping.
But do you think that, because we discussed a lot after the event on the format in which the project was presented during the festival, so this sort of installation with a screen, and I would like to ask if according to you, that's a good way to show a project like that, or if it is not?
It was that was a hard work, actually. And I was really lucky because Marie was there, so she guided me through it. And I do wonder if I didn't have Marie there to literally talk me through it and show me around, how I would have engaged with it. Because for various reasons, because obviously it's a new app that I have to learn how to use. It's a totally new concept. And it's in the installation setup, which requires a different type of engagement again.
Exactly.
I mean, I was, when I had read about the festival and was coming over, I had wanted to download it and to start using it before I came, because it had spoken about the fact that once you set your location, it will continue traveling. Yeah. So it would travel with me. And I thought, great, that'd be a fantastic way to have this journey made for me. But I couldn't access it. I couldn't see how to do it online in advance.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then after the festival, I couldn't download it properly. My phone was warning me that it was an unknown source that it was coming from, so it was trying to stop me from installing it.
Ah, wow.
So
that's,
I haven't
been
able to.
That's a problem we need to be resolved, yeah.
Yeah, so
because
I think
other people encountered the same problem.
Ah, right.
I didn't, for example, but other people had the same problem in downloading it. And actually, well, we reflected a lot on the way to exhibit a project like this, which basically is not meant to be exhibited in a way, because it is meant to be used. And probably the best way is just to help people to download the piece during the event.
Yeah, maybe have it as an online piece that is there, you know, very encouraged. Do this before you come, do this when you leave. And as you say, as kind of contact points. I mean, maybe you can have a sort of a setup, a stand with information about it, because you do need to know about its background. And as I said, having Marie to explain it all was great, because I really understood it more. And I'm not sure I would have got all of that from the app. It's quite a complicated piece. So yeah, you could have had a stall or something, and then some of the guys in the visitor centre exhibition space.
Yeah.
To encourage people to download it, make sure it's set up, and then check in when they're coming back and forth and things.
That's what we thought also.
Because that was a piece that was developed on the residency with someone from La Cusones, is that right?
Yeah, she was developed with us, but most of the project basically were developed either through residencies or... Amandine, basically, she was a student here, so she has been working with La Cusones also for her master projects. And then she continued with this project, the collaboration with La Cusones. So she was really an internal part, if you want. Marie Muller, the other mapping installation, that's a project that was also developed here during a three-month-long residence in 2014. So it is true that most of the project were developed here, but with different kind of involvement of La Cusones in a way, because... For example, with regard to Christina Kubi, she came here, we organized the workshop with the students, we worked together on the project here, but of course it is a project that exists much before that, and so it was just creating the context in order to make one electrical walk here in X, rather than... while for other projects, La Cusones was involved more from the production... point of view, etc.
And
Amandine was one of these.
Eric
Maillet, I think you, well, it's the project which was in French, so
I liked the idea of this, and I would have really enjoyed going to do it, so to have the kind of the physical mixed with the digital, so to go around physically hunting for the QR signs and to be interacting with them on my phone, and to having that as a sort of sound object that I experience on my own time was exciting. But yeah, I couldn't get the internet as well. Probably being outside of your country with the wrong sim.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, great idea.
And, Christina?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Was it the first time that you tried one of her works?
Yes, it was. So I wonder what it would be like if I had experienced it already. I've read about it before. That work was really exciting, because it was this direct connection for me to the physical world around me and an access point to understand it in a different way, which was why I enjoyed it so much. And it was great to be led. So Christina took me on a walk and took me to particular points of interest. Which definitely, obviously, added more than I would have done just roaming around. But great to do both. And yeah, I mean, really fascinating. I've had a totally different version of X. So from the sat navs driving past to the sounds of the train station, learning about that she was talking about the differences across different countries. I think French train stations have a unique sound that no other train stations do.
That's what she says. I don't know actually, but that's what she says. That's what she says.
Sorry?
That's what she said to me as well, that there is this particular sound, a particular rhythm in all the French stations.
That's it. And you know, I suppose it's about having that interpreter, because you're listening to a new sound language. You know, I wouldn't have understood that the noise was the sat-navs going past, unless I'd had the interpreter of Christina there to explain that to me. So that really added so much to the experience. And and now my interest in how these electromagnetic, you know, it's taking over our spaces and what implications that has. Because we would sit there, stand there and watch, say, a person at a checkout in a shop next to the sensors on the way in, and they emit this overwhelmingly loud, aggressive soundscape that's really dominating. And if you have a cashier who's sat right next to that, they're obviously being absorbed by those frequencies every day, all day. And, you know, there must be implications of that. So very eye-opening. And, as I say, delivered very well.
Let's go. Have you made the walk with Andrew Brown?
I did. I caught the first part of Andrew Brown's work. What was the work called?
Open City X.
Ah, that's it.
It was a guided audio walk.
Yes, guided audio work. Okay. That piece. So, from speaking to Andrew, I understand that the piece took two parts. It began in one way and it changed to quite a different piece, according to the neighbourhood that you walked through and obviously the sound that was made in response to that. So I caught the first half, which was very nice and enjoyable. And I think it took a slightly darker turn. I'm not sure, because I missed that bit. The experience of going out with a group listening was again a very nice experience to go and do, to be in a shared space with the other participants, but obviously be in my own bubble at the same time. And I remember that the work, the listening experience, because they'd used field recordings obviously from those areas as well, it was, how was it? I remember chatting to Andrew after the piece. It was kind of creating this sort of third experience of sound, because obviously I had an awareness of what the actual sounds were, and then I knew what I was listening to and I could hear that, but it was creating kind of a third space through the sound because of that mix of those two layers, which was really unique, and I wasn't expecting that. And I think that's because of the placement of the field recordings back into the similar environments. That's not very helpful, but I remember at the end being quite...
I really like what you said about the idea of being alone in your own listening bubble and at the same time together, because, well, I've done my PhD project was on sound walk, so I've done quite a lot of audio walks, but that was the first time where I did a guided audio walk in a sense, because usually you always have a map and you have instruction recorded in the audio track. And so for me, that was kind of spatial in a way, just because it was kind of different from it was that's the way Andrew works in general, so he always guide the public in groups. And I think there is also a very practical reasons, in a sense that in order to make a synchronized walk with instruction, etc., just takes really a lot of time, because you have to work on many, many layers.
Definitely.
I was here for a 2 weeks long residency working with one student, so but for me that was kind of strange.
It worked well to be in that group, moving through, and lovely to be led and to be allowed to get lost, being in a safe environment, because obviously you're being led, was very interesting. And And I mean, I was missing a good chunk of the content as well, obviously, because as soon as we switched to French dialogue, unfortunately, I missed that bit.
Yeah.
So it was very much kind of spatial sound walk for me, listening through the spaces of the field recordings and how that worked. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but, well, language in that case, it is an obstacle for a little part, but, narratives were not that prevalent in the piece, so I guess...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I remember it was...
Yeah, there were parts, spoken part, but it was not, I think of Janet Cardiff doing one of his work without knowing English, is just...
No, of course. This was more, it was more sort of fragments or memories got that impression.
And then Jessica Thompson.
So I loved the idea of this work. I liked the presentation of it, to be given my walking machine to kit up and to go out on my exploration mission. Technically it wasn't the smoothest journey, with the mics moving around a bit, and I don't think I had a particularly loud one, so I didn't experience as much of it as I thought I would, but perhaps with a different box I might have had more. But the idea of the work and the way it would come out if it was a bit louder is a really nice piece. I mean, to move your ears to your feet and to explore that, not only to change your listening experience and the way you therefore are relating to your environment, but also the way that it asks you to behave, because you then want to jump and run and tap your feet on things. And kind of inverting your body with having your head on the floor actually, if I wanted to listen to the fountain, I had to step up onto the ledge. So very small adjustments to my behaviour like that, of kind of this reordering of my physical being as much as a listening one, was very, very interesting.
Yeah, I agreed with you. And another, because I knew the project, but I never experienced it before it was presented at the Mobile Audio Festival. And for me, it was really, well, I had very resonating shoes, so I had a lot of fun, and
my shoes
were quite loud, and I did the walk with Catherine, and so we were exchanging, because she had the sound-absorbing shoes, and so we were also exchanging a little bit our headphone in order to experience the other feet.
Ah, lovely.
But it was nice, the fact that, apart from this reorganization of your behavior in public space as well, because you start to do very... strange things, but it was strange. Well, the thing that maybe touched me more, because I didn't expect it, was the fact that the fact of hearing from below, also the voices, everything.
Right. Oh, I didn't hear that. Maybe I wasn't in busy enough places.
That was really estranging in a way, because you had all the sound coming from not only the sound produced by your foot, but everything basically was coming from below, so that was a reorganization of your audio space, which was kind of
very much inverted. Either you being flipped or the space being flipped. Voices, it would have been great to have gone into perhaps the center and have heard that, listening from below. That's a nice way of putting it.
Well, that's my experience of it. And then, have you met the fanfare by Steve Jones?
Steve Jones.
The little group of students who were remixing live the soundscapes, basically with tablets and mobile phones and homemade speakers. Have you met them?
They were traveling through the town sort of small kits that were playing out loud. I didn't hear the work. I saw them leave as I was arriving for something. It looked like a very great group of kind of handmade technologies. It was very nice in that kind of handmade way, rather than having the shiny expensive technology that was out there to be performed. You know, it was setting a very different tone for what was about to happen, which looked interesting.
But they have been building the speakers during a workshop here at the school.
And that's really nice.
The students were super.
What was the sound that they were working with? Was it a musical performance, or was it a piece that they'd created already?
No, basically they were working with a series of apps, different apps, both for tablets and for mobile phones, that allow them to remix the soundscape, so the sound that they had... around them all together, improvising all together.
Oh, so they were live. They were feeding in with microphones.
Yeah, exactly. They were taking. They were using the microphone as a source. The microphone, the integrated microphone in the tablets or mobile phones, and then remixing live while walking around.
That was the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great to have that. I wonder, was it visually accessible to passing audience that is what they were doing, that they had a device that they were manipulating the sounds with?
I know it wasn't explicit. I mean, they were. It wasn't. I guess most of the people that met them didn't have any idea what they were doing.
Oh right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a project that Steve is developing since a lot of time. It's part of his PhD project that he's doing at the Montfort University.
At Montfort. Okay. Mm.
But it was the first time that he did it with a group of people, because usually he does it alone. So it's a practice that he has, this practice of street music with mobile devices. And that was the first time that he tried to enlarge and create a little group improvising.
Lovely. And did the group stay together at all times, or did they travel off?
Yeah, they were together most of the time.
Yeah. Okay, so a moving band, literally, through the streets.
Yeah. Yes, the idea was to have a little street orchestra, in a way.
Yeah. Mm. I imagine they continue to move, rather than to sort of set up a camp and be static in the town. Mm-hmm. They keep moving through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the idea.
Well. A little missed.
Pierre Laurent Cassière, because you are one of the few that met him.
Yes, I kind of ran into town to find him and then stalked him for a bit, sat in a coffee shop and followed him around. Yeah, really, really nice work. I mean, it's so striking to encounter him visually, because obviously there's these crazy parabolic microphones and speakers, and the relationship he creates with those passing by, you know, quite an aggressive act to pointing this unknown technological object at someone's dog, perhaps, and then another one at someone's face. And to see the way that the passing audience or the passers-by dealt with that, I suppose is the word, was unexpected. People allowed it. They completely let it happen. Mm-hmm. If anything, it was just indifference and walking off. You know, there wasn't any kind of strong reaction against this, which I was surprised about. And the idea of shifting sound around a bend, so literally making a kind of a loop in time and space, mm-hmm. that he was, you know, physically representing for people, I think was grasped by those that were experiencing it. I mean, it was a very direct translation of I am recording this and I'm playing it to you here. And people just watched on in kind of amusement, which was fantastic. All those that wouldn't engage and just pretended this madman wasn't doing his thing was really nice. I would have loved it to have gone on for longer, to have seen more people engaging with it. I remember he was fighting against the odds because it was pouring with rain at the time. But that did also work to his advantage, because then there were crowds of people gathered under, under mm-hmm. covers. So he had a captive audience almost that, you know, was a test of, well, how long will they stay while he's pointing this?
Yeah, exactly. Along.
And yes, so good to see, I suppose, both versions of that, working with the captive audience and also tracking people up and down the roads. I unfortunately didn't get to be on either end of the microphone or the speaker, so I couldn't hear or be heard from it, but I observed the performance taking place.
Yeah.
And absolutely excellent. I enjoyed that work.
Mm-hmm. And then what else? You haven't seen the project that were presented in Marseille?
No.
Maybe Peter Project.
Road Music.
Road Music.
Oh, great. Again, that was really nice to experience, because I've read about it and I understood the logistics of it, or the roughly how it worked. But it was much more complex than I realised. I understood that it was reacting to the environment and making the music accordingly, but I hadn't realised it was using visual tracking of the front image through the windscreen. So So the relationship of texture, of vibration, right, of the car, as well as the visual, as well as the predetermined sort of artist who was making the work, because I wasn't expecting to hear, I think it was sort of 4 or 5 different artists'
versions,
work.
Yeah.
Used that, which was great, because again, to hear the way different artists had used this tool enabled you to understand more how it was working because of the different sounds and obviously the spaces that you were starting to recognize of, okay, bumps are interpreted this way by this artist, or I can hear the lampposts in this one. That was great and lovely that you were able to cite it in the context of an actual journey rather than asking people to go out on a journey for the sake of experiencing it. You know, we were traveling to the other location.
Yeah.
So it was in the right context too. That worked really well.
So you
well.
Had the occasion to experience more than one version of it.
Pardon?
You had the occasion to experience more than one version of it.
Yeah, I think we heard about 3 or 4.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if the driver was skipping them more quickly. Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose obviously you choose how long you play it for. So yeah, he did quite a few. So it really demonstrated the variety of output you can create according to, you know, different artists' input on it. It's interesting hearing. It was harder than I realised to assign the sounds to the sight or the sounds to the motion. So when you cracked something, you know, it really did feel like that. Of gaining this connection of the lampposts or the particular bends that were informing something. So it was an interesting mix of being in this sound world that suddenly very dramatically is grounded back in your physical surroundings again. You know, you fluctuate between those two ways of being.
Yeah, I agree. That's the strong part of the project. I agree with you.
Mm.
Well, thank you very much. There's something else that you would like to add, or
no?
You've been talking already for an hour, so maybe.
Oh my gosh!
almost.
Nearly. Well, looking forward to the next one, and it was interesting to learn from you that you had put on the Mobile Audio Fest as a practical accompaniment to a symposium, so the academic side of this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So that format is really nice to have experienced, and it would be great to have gone or to be able to hear the symposium to sort of see the complementary parts, and that as a format for your future activities is great. I think it's a really good idea. So when the next one comes, I'll book in for both. in due time, no need to rush, don't worry.
I think it was interesting going from, especially for me, since it's a subject that I've been exploring quite a lot, but more in theoretical term. It was really interesting for me to work with all of the artists that were there and, participate in the production phase. That was, to me, really interesting also because I'm not one of these scholars who's like spending their time in a library. I prefer interacting and working with artists. That's a thing that I really like, and so I also really enjoyed the passage from the more theoretical perspective of the symposium, which was actually not that theoretical in the sense that almost half of the presenter or the people presenting were artists, so they were discussing specific project from an internal point of view, if you want. And then being able to develop this in a series of production, basically, because the most interesting part was the fact that we were able to work with most of the artists on site and involving the students as well. So that was the best part, I think, of the being able to develop some of the project here and on site, and that allowed us to enter a little bit the process. And to me, it was really useful in order to understand or to understand in another way some of the questions that I've been asking myself.
Those questions were answered through the practical side of doing. So were some of the artists in Mobile Audio Fest from the symposium, was there a crossover or were they totally different?
Some of them were, they also participated in the symposium. Jessica Thompson, for example, was at the symposium. Steve Jones was at the symposium, and then he came back for a workshop to develop, to work on pure data for mobile phones in January.
Yeah.
And then he came with Maria Papadomanolaki, also came here for a short residency to develop a streaming application for that project.
Ah, right, okay.
And they came together.
Great.
And then Steve came also back to make a workshop with the student of 2 weeks. So yes, there are some of the some of the artists who were involved in many different phases. And others, no, haven't participated in the symposium. Well, there was a call for project and we were kind of overwhelmed by the proposal. And that was also very interesting because we have been working on the topic. And we thought it was, well, a very interesting and relevant topic nowadays, but we didn't thought we could have such a large response. And it was very difficult, extremely difficult to select, because like we had 120 proposals and 90% of them was really in line with the call for project.
So great.
It was really strange. But that gives also an idea of how much the team was... well, it's interesting to the artists in the sense that there are really a lot of projects being developed today on these.
Yes, definitely.
In the sense that it gives you a mapping of, well, sometimes you make calls and there are so many proposals which don't have anything to do with the topic of the call.
I can imagine,
that's something that happens. While in that case, there were many proposals and really the large majority was really, and also high quality. So it was really difficult to, to make a choice.
So definitely, backs up your idea that, you know, there is an interest and there is a large body of creatives responding to this out there. I've just recently been in touch with a group. What are they called? Erschwin at St. Mary's University. Who are developing an application or a tool of some sort that will be specifically to enable creative acts in public spaces, kind of interventions, which is great. I've just put in a proposal to join their developing workshop in order to shape this, and it's specifically for the Lisbon Architecture Triennale, which I know is a really good crossover of arts and architecture in public space.
Please send us a reference.
Sure.
But I mean, I think we should keep in contact in general about the project we develop. It would be nice if we could find another way of collaborating or attending each other's events or try to develop a stronger relationship. I would be happy to continue the exchange.
Definitely, indeed. Yes, that would be good for the future, definitely. Fantastic.
Well,
great. Well, lovely to speak to you again.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, keep in touch about
keep in touch, yeah.
Mobile Audio Fest goes next.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay.
Bye, have a nice afternoon.
You too.